Hey, beautiful people. This is Nkechi, and I'm just hopping in to set the scene. You are currently listening to Talk Crypto to Me. There are over 15 plus episodes in this particular series, so make sure you get a listen to all of them. As well, don't forget to subscribe so you're notified every single time we drop a new episode. And make sure you join our community by becoming a member at www.nkechi.club. That's N-K-E-C-H-I.club. All right, let's go ahead and get into the episode, and I'll see you guys on the other side. Enjoy.
I think a lot of the in back and forth that we don't talk about is that some of the exchanges are harder to get your money off. Ooh. And they require a certain number, a certain amount of token, or a certain amount of money before you can take it off. I learned that the hard way with crypto.com, which I had never really, I was a Gemini girl. So just do your due diligence on that side too. Look at what you're holding in there. A lot of people are staking, so they don't really care. But if you're looking to move your money right onto your wallet and they don't allow it, it's going to be a mind blow for sure.
I have a question about Shiba, because I heard about it a few months back. This is Snap Boogie, by the way.
Hey, Snap. Hey, Boo. Hey, beloved. I missed you, babe. Hey, there's a queue. I just added you to it. I'm sorry to jump in like that. I apologize.
Oh, my bad.
No, you're good. I just added you to it, brother. So please just jot that question down. I want to hear it, and somebody else needs to hear it. So just hold on for me, all right? Were we through with Anna's question? I think there was somebody else that wanted to chime in on that question. Let's get like two more responses, and then let's keep it moving, because I want to make sure that Anna's second question also gets answered.
Nkechi, this is Andrew. Can I add some stuff to that question?
For sure. I got you, Andrew, and then I think Dion was trying to chime in too. Who was the other voice?
It was Dion.
Okay,
was
cool. Let's get Andrew, and then I'm going to get Dion's input as well, and then we'll move on. Let's make sure we're addressing both of her questions too.
Cool. So from my perspective, there's like five things you need to look at when you're looking at an exchange. And some of these have already been mentioned, but the first thing is how easy it is to get money on the exchange. So like things like Binance US, Coinbase, Kraken, some of those support direct integration with your bank. Some of them don't. So you need to look at that and how long it's going to be before you can take that money off of the exchange, because depending on how you put it on, it's going to have different time vetting because of ACH transfer things and a bunch of other stuff in the background that most people don't really know or care about. The second thing is in terms of the costs, how much to trade and what the spread is. So the spread is the difference between the ask buy price and the ask sell price. So some places like crypto.com have really, really, really terrible spreads. They have a lot of tokens, but they have really terrible spreads. So if you want to buy something, you're actually buying it less. You're going to get less for your money on crypto.com than you will for some other places because of the spread. So you need to look at that and the trading fees. The third thing is what tokens are available on the exchange. So different places, and this came up a minute ago, but different places have different risk appetites in terms of onboarding tokens. So you need to make sure that the token you want is on the exchange you're going to use. The best way to do this is go to somewhere like CoinGecko, CoinGecko.com, or CoinMarketCap, and do a search for the token. And both of those will tell you where you can buy and sell those, whether it's on a centralized exchange like Coinbase or Gemini or any of the other ones, KuCoin, any of those. Or if it's on a decentralized swap platform like Uniswap or PancakeSwap or OneInch or several of the other things. The next thing is, and this came up as well, how hard it is to get it off. So there's two things that relate to how hard it is to get crypto off. First is, as somebody else mentioned, I forget who, I apologize, is what the limit for the amount of tokens you have to a minimum amount that you have to be willing to withdraw. So different exchanges have different limits, and this is somewhat related to the fees associated with withdrawing those tokens from a given exchange. And different tokens have different costs associated with them. So different, if they're an Ethereum token, they're going to be more expensive generally because the gas fees for Ethereum are higher than they are on some of the other chains. Some chains don't have any gas fees effectively, so they're effectively free to move around. Tokens like Stellar, XRP, some of those things are really good for moving between exchanges because the gas fees are either low or non-existent. NEO is another one, but it's annoying because you can only transfer whole numbers. So that's another factor. The last thing in terms of exchanges is whether or not you have access to a card. So somebody mentioned prepaid debit cards before.
Yeah,
many of those exchanges like Crypto.com, Coinbase, Binance, even Nexo and Celsius are going to be introducing cards, have the ability for you to actually have a debit card associated with your wallet on the exchange. And there's different ways to do this, and there's smart ways to use this, and there's not so smart ways in terms of the way you figure it out. Most of those give you rewards for using that. So those five things are what you really need to consider when you pick an exchange, because the differences, certainly in terms of the withdrawal amounts and the withdrawal fees, can be huge depending for the same token across different exchanges. I have this all mapped out because of the way that I work with this stuff and compare the fees and stuff, and it can be nearly double depending on the exchange for moving stuff around. So that's the first part of the question. The second part of the question I wanted to address, because this always comes up. Now, I'm a technology person, I'm a cybersecurity person, and I just want to clarify something in terms of the differences between hot and cold wallets. So, and this kind of relates to the second part of the question as well, in terms of when to move things off an exchange. What you are doing when you have your assets on an exchange is the access to those assets is available to two parties other than you. Well, two parties, anybody with your username, password, and whatever other things you have to authenticate to that exchange, anybody who gets those somehow can have access to your crypto. The other party that has access to your crypto, obviously in a centralized exchange because they're custodial, is the exchange themselves. So this is why you can trade things really easily on a centralized exchange. You don't pay as high of fees as you do in a decentralized way. But again, you know, that comes back to the old not your keys, not your crypto kind of mantra. And so you have to understand that. And as Terry said about risk appetite, you need to understand how much you're willing to lose if something terrible has happened, your account was hacked, or the exchange goes out of business, or whatever else.
One of the things that I can see when it comes to having your, as a positive, as having your like money on an exchange, sometimes is that, like, you know, what if you do lose your 12 key pass raises? You know, like, you can still have your money on a centralized exchange just in case. So I think sometimes it can be good to balance these two things out by having your money on a centralized exchange and also having money that you really truly own by being your own bank. You know, just my little two cents.
Yeah, that's true. That's another valid point. That's another valid point. I would advise you guys, though, that after a certain amount of money, though, you know, if you listen, if you got, I don't know, 35,000 Doge, sure. All right, so let me repeat that. We're talking about stuff that people are more likely to target and steal. So if we're talking about numbers like that, I mean, I can tell you guys a horror story about Coinbase and my own experience. And you know, like I said, I was buying up BTC as whole coins back in the day, okay? So imagine one day I get onto Coinbase because I'm seeing it starting to go up and I can't get into my account. And they proceeded to lock me out of that account for 2 years. Do you understand how much money I had locked up inside of there for 2 years? That is terrifying. That is terrifying. So just be very, very cognizant of those sort of things as well. So I wanted to add that. Thank you so much, Snap. Thank you so much, Andrew. And then I'm over to my girl, Dion. And then I just want to confirm that your answers that your question was honored, Anna. And then we're going to continue on in the queue. What's up, Dion?
No, yes. I just wanted to update information about Saitama, Ms. Supernerd, I think it was, that mentioned that you can. Hi. No, I just wanted, you mentioned about not being able, about using a swap to buy it, but you can actually buy it on LBank and Bitmart now.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, right. So some of the exchanges I don't have access to.
The
Canadian.
No, 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 but still shout out those exchanges, right. Though. Still repeat those exchanges, Dion, for those that can access it.
Right. So if you're trying to avoid gas fees, you know, Ethereum gas fees, you can use Bitmart and you can use LBank to buy Saitama, because you mentioned Saitama, but I guess in Canada she cannot. But I just wanted to update that.
Sorry, on that, Dee, I just wanted to say, too, LBank is another good example of you have to have a lot to get it off. So, you know, LBank is, they'll pay you back with it. Sorry, the train. LBank will pay you back with it. You'll get more money off of it, obviously, but you can't take it off there until you got, like, 50 bill.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, that's true. But Bitmark is not the same case.
Hey, I like a correction.
Bitmark.
Because yep. I want to... with LBank, actually,
who's speaking?
That's Kenyatta.
Hey, Kenyatta, what's up, brother? What's up, going Kenyatta?
On? I just want to, because I, cause
yo, I'm gonna add you to the mod squad. Please don't mess with it. Please don't mess with it. I'm saying this to everybody.
No, 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 you know that.
I got to, but I gotta bring you up.
I just want to, because I.
Yo, I'm gonna add you to the mod squad. Please don't mess with it. Please don't mess with it. I'm saying this to everybody.
No, 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 you know that.
I got to, but I gotta bring you up, brother. Come on.
Well. Two things. If you're going to get it on LBank, they now decrease the price from 60 million to 20. I'm from 60 billion to 20 billion coins instead to get it off. That's number one. And number two, I would not suggest you buy Saitama on Bitmark, because Bitmark is not allowing you to remove Saitama from that exchange.
And make sure when you're talking about wallets that your wallets hold these, you know, a lot of people talk about Ledger and what have you. Of course, Bitcoin is easy to store, but when you start playing around with, you know, the list down here in the thousands, make sure that you know where you're storing. Or that's why a lot of people honestly just leave it on the exchange.
And like what I'm going through right now is because, you know, Shiba did me like really good. I invested into it back in June. But my thing is just that it's like an arm and a leg for me to even convert it back to Ethereum or remove it from removing it from the platform is not that expensive, but it's just the fees are just there. So I kind of just left it alone. But I'm like I literally doubled my investments, right? So, and I feel like the best thing to do, and mind you guys, I didn't put thousands, so calm down. I'm not rich, but I definitely doubled my
investment. That means she rich.
No, 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 no.
She got trust money.
I wish I put in more, trust me. I definitely wish I put more, but I doubled it. And somebody recently said, and I think it's true, like if you double it, at least like take the part that you doubled out. And y'all, it's like charging me an extra $160-something just to convert it in a MetaMask.
Did you try it at like 3 a.m? Because the gas fees are usually lower.
Yo, Chris got all the hacks, bro. She said, listen, you're going to wake up at 3 o'clock and then 3:01:52.
I'm going to try, because I stopped at 2 a.m. Like, I literally was going back and forth because, you know, it like, changes. But it, like, was, like, so expensive. I'm like, I may just have to pay that. That's it.
Yeah. Yo, gas fees is powerful, man. Oh, real quick, though. This is what I would like for us to do, because, again, Miss Roslyn did beautifully state this, and I want to make sure I'm honoring it. All right, I want us to define two things for the audience, and listen, you guys are the stars. I just love hearing you guys talk, all right? So one, I want us to define gas fees, and then two, I want somebody to break down KYC. Yo, Olivia, get that gas fees for me.
I hate explaining, but I'll try. The gas fees is just basically Ethereum, it runs off of Ethereum, Shiba, and like certain coins. So you have to pay like a fee. You have to pay a fee when you're converting it into either Ethereum or Polygon or anything that's associated with the Ethereum network, you have to pay some sort of fee. Ethereum's fee is hella high. So just look at the gas fee as a fee. If you want to convert, if you want to switch, if you want to trade, not trade, if you want to convert or you want to change to another platform, there you go. You have to pay a fee. And hopefully I explained it the best way. I'm more basic. I don't do the old Ebonics extra big words. So I hope that was good for you guys. Thanks.
I could be helpful if needed.
Who said I could be helpful if needed?
Gravity.
Yo, Gravity, get that KYC for me then. Answer that.
Okay. Real quick, let me hit the gas fee for you.
Yo, Gravity.
Quick, too, so that there's a little bit.
I remember you, Gravity.
Did I do a bad job?
Yo, Olivia, do you remember Gravity from the Doge Rooms? You remember him?
Let me see.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. The whole fam is here. I love it.
Okay. Gravity, don't be trying to come for my explanation.
Come for it, Gravity. Come for it, Gravity.
We build, we don't destroy, baby. We don't destroy.
I love it.
Yeah. So real quick, just so that people have an understanding of what gas fees are, right now, Ethereum is so there's two different ways that validating for crypto happens. You have proof of stake and proof of work. Right now, Ethereum is proof of work. And proof of work means that there are miners involved. So the gas fees that you're paying are how miners for the crypto make their capital. And the reason why those gas fees, you can maybe wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and it'd be different, but it's going to be difficult because the NFT market has the gas fees out the roof because people trade NFTs around the clock. So, you know, those fees are going to be.
Hey, loves. Welcome to the other side. I hope you're enjoying the journey so far. If there are episodes you haven't listened to yet, make sure to check them out next. And if you haven't already, make sure you visit us at www.nkechi.club to join our community by becoming a member. That's NKECHI.club. As well, don't forget to subscribe so you're notified every single time we drop a new episode. I hope that something you heard today touched you. And until the next time, please remember, you are loved, you are valued. And we couldn't do this without you.